It's a field at the intersection of chemistry, nuclear engineering, and nuclear physics. Radiochemistry is the use of either nuclear materials to understand chemical processes or chemical science to understand nuclear processes. Say you're trying to understand how various elements are produced in stars. So it's an astrophysics type thing. And the tool you have available to yourself is an accelerator here on Earth. We use the accelerator to introduce nuclear reactions between two different species to try to understand how well or how poorly they interact in the stellar environment. We use chemistry to isolate the species that we're interested in. That allows us to do a much more sensitive measurement. We also use radiochemistry in medicine. Heart scans or thyroid scans, some brain scans. Many of those use radioactive elements as part of the drug that they give you to either image or diagnose what's going on. Those drugs are produced by radiochemists. Perhaps the most famous radiochemist is Marie Curie, the European scientist who discovered radium. In some ways, radiochemistry was the genesis of the Manhattan Project. One of the first things that gave people the clue that nuclear material could be used for massive amounts of energy was the discovery of nuclear fission. And when fission was discovered, people didn't understand it until a series of chemists did a very good chemical separation of the products of fission and showed that it was in fact not some new element or some heavier element, but that the uranium that they had been bombarding had broken apart into lighter elements. And that was really the breakthrough that led people to understand fission. And of course, from fission came the possibility of an atomic bomb, and thence the Manhattan Project.
Part of this press release says it's a field that has been shrinking in academia for years.
Yes.
Why isn't it more important?
Radiochemistry as a research endeavor was heavily tied in academia to the funding that came during the Manhattan Project and then the first 10 to 15 years after that. So a lot of that generation of academic programs had their birth in either the Manhattan Project or the Atoms for Peace program, which started in the mid-50s. And after that sort of initial burst of new faculty, new research programs, new curricula, it sort of coasted for a while. And then in the sort of late 70s, early 80s, those folks started to retire. And at that point, of course, we had had Three Mile Island. The nuclear power industry was in the doldrums. There were no new builds. Universities looked at radiochemistry and nuclear science in general at that point and said, yeah, this is not growing. Environmental regulations were ramping up. Safety regulations were ramping up. Radiochemistry is fundamentally an experimental science. And so it involves, you know, getting into the lab and handling radioactive materials, putting them in solution, you know, doing separations, things like that. And so that certainly involves more expense and more complexity on the safety side than doing some sort of, you know, modeling or simulation study using just a computer. So the health and safety aspects add to the cost of doing radiochemistry. All of the U.S. nuclear weapons that are active get certified every year by the National Nuclear Security Administration's labs. And a big piece of that certification is going back and re-reviewing all the radiochemical data from all the earlier tests to make sure there's nothing that we haven't missed. Radiochemistry is fundamentally the science behind nuclear forensics. And people are rightly concerned that in this era of global terrorism, terrorists have interest in nuclear materials. Now, fortunately, they've never had success or any substantial success in getting either nuclear or radiological materials. But if there ever were a case, we need to be ready to analyze that event and try to understand it.
Is the goal then to develop more graduate students in radiochemistry?
Yes. We're planning to support on the order of 7 or 8 graduate students full-time in this radiochemistry center for the next 5 years. Now, obviously, some will graduate and will get replaced by others, but the idea is to start getting students working on this research, get the students opportunities to participate with the laboratories so that if all the stars align, they graduate from here and they go off to one of the NNSA labs and they become successful scientists working in this field, that would be fantastic.
The forensic nature of this study to figure out where a weapon came from after it was detonated. How does that work?
Let's sort of walk through the scenario.
Yeah.
Some terrorist organization or some nation state who's trying to do something and maybe finger a terrorist organization for it has a nuclear weapon. It may be crude or it may be sophisticated. We don't know at this point. They manage to sneak it into a city and they detonate it. When it detonates, the first thing, of course, that happens is that the nuclear fuel that is in that device is burned. It's at least partially burned. And by burned, we mean that there's a lot of fission reactions. And if it's a complex device, there may be fusion reactions going on. We get a big explosion. We kill a lot of people. And then you create a lot of fallout. Mm-hmm. The radioactive signature from that fallout is immediately derived from the materials that you started with in that device. So if we gather some of that material, if we can measure all those components, we can actually start unwinding that design by going backwards through the sort of work that we used to do in the U.S. for nuclear testing. So if you know, for example, from the debris that it had uranium fuel and it was a low efficiency device, and maybe you found some activation materials around it, maybe you were able to determine that it had a lot of iron around it or maybe a lot of tungsten around it. By using some of the weapons design codes and in essence running them backwards, you can narrow down from that data what sort of device it was. And we can then use that information to start to understand who potentially could have done it, and equally importantly, start to quickly rule out who didn't do it.